Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Project Upgrade podcast. I am your host, Lucas.
And I am Samantha.
And today we are talking everything about food in the off season, just navigating your nutrition, a few tips and tricks, and just some things that we like keeping in mind. But before we get into it, let's dive into our win of the week.
Wow, you remembered. I'm so proud of you. And you got it right as well.
Yeah, not win of the day, not win of the year. It's win of the week.
Only took us 20 episodes, guys.
That's right. 20 times the charm, as they say. Someone says that, I think. I hope. Has someone ever said that?
I don't know, maybe.
Well, now they have.
All right. What was your win of the week?
Let's have a look. My win of the week. So over the past, I'd say 2 weeks now, I've had a really bad injury with my shoulder. There was no like one big event that caused my shoulder to do what it did. But it turns out the front anterior glenoid, they call it, it's just the front soft tissue of my shoulder, has been overworked. And I got to a point where I just couldn't move my arm. I couldn't lift anything. I could barely shift gears in my car. And I was out of the gym, training upper body at least for like 2 weeks. I don't really like talking about this too much because like, I don't like complaining about injuries. So this is probably news to everyone. But this week, it's getting a lot better. And I've actually been able to get back into the gym and train some upper body. There's a good amount of things I still can't do. But the fact I'm recovered enough to be able to do some upper body movement, that's my win of the week. I was getting a little bit down in the dumps about it because I didn't know how long I'd be out. But it's been a good week this week, slowly getting back into it all.
I couldn't believe how much pain you were in, though. Like, that was actually kind of scary seeing. Yeah. It was really hard to see. Because, like, you never complain about injuries or pain or, like, you're a tough cookie, right? Mm. So to see you in that much pain, like, that night, the night that we got home from hanging out with everyone.
That's right. Yeah, I really struggled to get to sleep. Like, there was just no position that I could possibly be in.
But just driving home, like driving from the Gold Coast, you were in absolute agony. Like, whenever I went over a bump, whenever I turned into a corner, you were just in, like, agony. And then we got home and you were laying in bed and I was like, oh, like, I'll give you a massage and we'll try to get the knot out. Because at the time we thought it was just a knot or something was going on. Mm. I don't even think I really put any pressure on you.
Yeah, Sam gave me a massage, but like she didn't even get to the massage part. She just touched the area and it was just agonizing. So yeah, I actually can't remember the last time I was in that much pain.
It was hard to watch. It was hard to see.
Yeah, it was hard to experience. Like even just honestly sleeping took me hours to fall asleep just to find one position that wasn't excruciating.
I think it was just weird because it literally came from nowhere. Like there was not one event that was like, oh, that's cooked my shoulder.
That's right. It's not like I did a bench press and then got up and I was like, oh man, my shoulder hurts.
Yeah,
like every workout felt great. I just woke up one morning and I had a little bit of limited range of motion.
So I remember the you like saying it was sore. You're like, oh, it's a bit stiff.
Yeah.
And then suddenly by that night you were just dead. Like you were like, my shoulder's gonna fall off.
Well, I was like, oh, sleep it off, right? I'll wake up, I'll feel a lot better. Just felt even worse.
Yeah.
Next day even worse. And then I could barely even just lift my arm up. It was the weirdest thing in the world. But after seeing the physio, it's just an overworked inflammation of the front part of my delt. But, you know, that's all the negative stuff. It's getting much better now. And, you know, that's actually why I was getting so upset. Cause I'm like, it's the off season. You know, like I need this to grow. Like this is terrible timing. But, you know, that's why it's my win of the week. Cause it's in a position now where I can actually use it and do some big movements in the upper body.
But you actually rested it as well. Like it's one of those things when you have an injury, you can easily let the ego get the better of you and go, oh, it's good now. I can go back to normal. But that's like, I think I said this to you as well. It's like, that's the most dangerous part of an injury. Like when you start to feel good, you need to keep your ego down and just rest.
You got to realize it's not 100% yet. Yeah. And if you train like it is 100%, it'll be 0% real quick.
Yeah, you'll be back at square one. You don't want that. Don't have time for that.
No way. Exactly. But enough about me. What was your win of the week this week?
My win of the week was just getting back to work. So I've had 2 weeks off work over Christmas and New Year's. So we closed the posing studio. I only did check-ins for my girls who were like in prep currently, so who are getting on stage soon. So it was a good downtime. I really enjoyed it. Definitely made me realize I need to put some boundaries in place with work. Didn't realize how burnt out I was. I think I spoke about this last episode actually. But went back to work and opened the studio again. And it was just good to see everyone. Like it was good to be back around the girls and just like be fresh and really have my boundaries in place. So not saying yes to bookings just because I can. Just really having that boundary of, no, I'm only doing this amount of girls that day. I'm not going to try and fit you in. Do you know what I mean?
course.
Or taking on girls because they want to see me. So for the first time ever, I actually have a cutoff time as a posing coach. So my cutoff time is now 16 weeks out from a show if you're a first timer. If you're an experienced poser, you've been on stage before, I might take you on. But yeah, if you're a first timer and you're 16 weeks out, I will not take you on because I can't fit you in. Number one, because I think my next available booking is in like 3-4 weeks. And that's for one slot, like one time slot. If you can't make that one time slot, I can't see you until like middle of February. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, well, yeah, you might be 12 weeks out now, but by the time I see you, you're going to be 8 weeks out. And that's just not fair on you or myself. So putting those boundaries in place has actually been really hard. Not going to lie. Like I've had to turn a lot of people away, which has been super hard, especially when they're really disappointed. And they're like, oh, but I really want to pose with you. And I'm like, yeah, but you should have come to me weeks ago.
Yep.
That's been really hard to navigate, but I'm really proud of myself for just sticking to my guns and just putting myself first, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I get that. It's a powerful win.
Yeah. Because you saw me last year. I was doing like 15 sessions a day, which was just stupid. It was stupidity. Like I shouldn't be doing that.
Yep.
So, yeah, just putting myself into a better position for work and getting back into the studio, getting back in the swing of things and just being fresh. Fresh Sam, not burnt out Sam.
Happy days, we like that. We want fresh Sam.
Yeah, just being back with all my staff as well has been really nice.
Happy days.
Like, because when you work with people, you just become good friends, you know? So it's been nice to be back around the girls and, yeah.
Fantastic. I like that.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Cool, cool.
But let's chat about our topic today. So navigating food in the off season. It's always a big question mark, I feel, especially for first timers. Like whether you haven't competed before and you're in your build or you have competed before, but it's your first like off season,
yep.
Like between shows, I find it's a very big gray area for a lot of competitors. So
it can be a little bit tricky because you have to be so adherent to the nutrition when you're in prep. So a lot of people, they get overwhelmed by that by the time stage day comes. And then when that's done, they want to take the foot off the gas. They almost want to forget about nutrition to an extent. So it's tricky because they've just come out of this period where they're so adherent. It's almost like, it's hard to still be adherent. So it's definitely something to navigate, like how adherent should you be in the off season?
Yeah, like what is adherent? Like what is actually being on track?
Like is it the same level as when you're in prep? Is it eating whatever you want? Is there a nice middle ground? You know, there's a few questions to answer there.
Yeah. So let's chat about the first one, which I think is very important in the off season, which is tracking and not tracking. You're always the god of this one, so you can take it away.
I'm team tracking. Like I don't like meal plans for myself. Like as a coach, I can definitely see the benefit of giving someone a meal plan. If you're at a certain level where you're very proficient with tracking, you've got a good understanding of nutrition, tracking's fantastic, especially in the off season, I feel, because that's the time that you have a little bit more flexibility. In prep, you want to be pretty locked into the same foods, minimal variability. But in the off-season tracking, you know, you can make it, you know, very enjoyable because you have an excess amount of calories now. You've got a lot to play with. You can actually try out new foods. And it's a way that you can make maximum gains while also, you know, enjoying your food at the same time.
Yeah. I think for me, my first ever off-season, I was too scared to track. But mainly because I didn't understand it. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. This was years ago.
It's a daunting thing if you haven't, like, dived headfirst into it.
It just didn't make sense to me. I was like, how does this even work? Yep. And then I made it my mission. I think it was when I first started seeing you, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when I really put my teeth in.
Yeah, because when I met you, you hadn't been too into the tracking.
No, I just followed a meal plan because, well, it worked, so why not just follow it?
That's right.
And I had, like, my ways of eating out. Like, I just kind of knew what I'd do with it. But no, you really got me into the tracking and you really put my head around it. And like, you taught me how to navigate it and be okay with it not being 100% accurate as well. Because I thought it had to be complete zeros. And you were like, no, there's leeway. And like, I think just that whole period was really hard to get my head around. But I'm now a queen of tracking.
Hey, it's just the same as anything. Practice makes perfect. Like, no one dives into MyFitnessPal for the very first time and they're a god at it. Right, it takes a bit of trial and error. You've got to try out certain weeks with different foods. If you've just got to get experience logging the foods and actually getting a good understanding. And the benefit of tracking, you actually understand what's in certain foods. If you get a meal plan, like, you might not have any idea what calories or what macros are in all of these ingredients. You're just given the foods. Whereas if you're tracking, it gives you the ability to actually go out to a restaurant or go out and eat with some friends, even if you don't track that meal, you have a good idea what would be an appropriate thing to order because you've logged certain foods like that.
Mm.
Like you might know that peanut butter is high in fat or chicken breast is high in protein or, you know, any of these things. You learn all of these values from actually tracking. So, you know, it helps in the off season dramatically being able to track. And it's hard to follow a meal plan the entire time in an off season if you just
get burnt out.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. If you've just come out of a prep where you followed a meal plan for what 16, 24, 30 weeks, it's like you want to be fresh by the time you get into your next prep.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you don't want to be burnt out by doing an entire off season of just meal plan. And you do want to enjoy yourself, right? Like this actually is the time to have a little bit of flexibility.
I also found when I was only following a meal plan, I would have this unnecessary guilt for not following a meal plan.
Yeah.
So that was a very big shift as well. But in saying that, I can follow a meal plan now and eat off plan as well, like, and without any guilt, like no guilt at all. But that's taken a long time to get to that point.
Yeah.
With tracking though, because I believe that you shouldn't try to get into tracking in prep. You should do it in the off season. So you've got your head switched on.
Absolutely.
I see some people try to get into it in prep and that's just a recipe for disaster because you could go over, you could go under.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is a trial and error, as I was saying. Like it just takes practice and you don't want to be practicing in prep.
No, God no.
You want to, if you are going, like, you know, some people follow a meal plan the entire time in prep. Some people follow a meal plan for the last half or like the last, you know, number of weeks, but you know, the starter prep they might track. Like, where was I going with that? I've lost that one.
We'll let you ponder on that one.
Yeah, where was I going with that? No, sorry. So you can definitely track in prep, but you want the time that you do track to be at like pretty perfect. You don't want to be navigating the waters and trying to figure it out because it's very easy to also make mistakes with tracking. Like you might be entering, say, for example, you might enter cooked weight instead of raw weight. If you weigh out 200 grams of cooked chicken, 200 grams of raw chicken will be dramatically different. So if you're making these little errors in prep, you could kind of set yourself back a little bit. So yeah, it's very important to get pretty confident with your tracking ability in the off season and then bring that into prep if you are going to go down that route.
I normally suggest to my girls to, if they want to get into tracking, that is, start by tracking your protein first.
Yeah.
Like, don't do all three macros.
It's a bit overwhelming.
You've got to do
calories and then all three macros and get them as perfect as you can. Yeah. Like, for someone that hasn't tracked, that's a tall task.
And on MyFitnessPal, you can actually set it to just tracking protein, which I found really easy because then I wasn't looking at all the other numbers and getting confused.
Can you just?
Yeah, apparently. Well, I did it. Back when I started.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if it's still a setting now, but it definitely was when I started.
It doesn't show you the carbs and fats?
No. Wow, you can just look at the protein and the calories.
Calories.
I think now...
Yeah, cool.
I might be wrong, but I think now you have to have three options, but you can change it to like your fiber intake. And
gotcha. Like, sodium.
Yeah, like you can have a lot of customization with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I do recommend to at least have protein there so you can get an understanding of that. Then start implementing your carbs and fats. Like, just get your protein sorted, then 100%. Everything else can come into it.
Yeah, like, if you are going to focus on one aspect of tracking, just nail your protein.
Yeah.
Because carbs and fats, to an extent, they can be interchangeable. Protein, nothing replaces protein. But carbs and fats, they're obviously interchangeable because they're both fuel sources. But it's a good first step. Like, you don't want... And that's, like, a way to despise tracking a little bit.
Yeah.
If you have all of these goals to hit... The chance of you nailing that, like, is pretty low. Like, you don't want to get to a point where you're kind of getting it, but the other two macros are off and you get frustrated and you start hating the tracking process. Yeah. One step at a time.
My other two tips with MyFitnessPal, the second one would be to actually sit down and write out what your day would look like. Like, if you haven't tracked before, just so you can kind of understand, like, what you need to eat and what that looks like. Obviously, you can chop and change it over the day. Like, you don't have to stick to it. But it's just so then you don't get to, like, 6 p.m. and you're like, oh, my God, I have all of these carbs to eat. You can't fit that many carbs in at nighttime before you go to bed. You know, like, you're just going to feel sick. So
I'm over my protein. I'm over my fat. Yeah. I've got 300 grams of carbs. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely if you haven't done it before, just sit down and look at it just so you know what to eat. And then over time, you'll get better and better at it. And then my third tip would be to ensure that you actually purchase MyFitnessPal. Don't use the free version.
Yeah, the premium version, that pays for itself. Like, the free version, it's annoying because you can't even scan a barcode on the free version anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you actually have, it's a bit rough because it used to be free. Like, it used to all be free and you could track with the barcodes and all that. But now you've got to pay for that, yeah. Which is annoying because, you know, if you're buying all these items from the grocery store, you've got to enter them in manually. It's a hassle. But also the dashboard's different.
Yeah, very
different.
You can
get them to display all of the macronutrients. Because I believe it's like,
I think it's percentages or something, or just
calories. That's another thing as well. That's actually another aspect. Mm. They don't tell you how many grams each meal is.
Yeah.
It tells you this meal is 30 grams, 30% carbs, 60% protein, and 10% fat. Yeah,
and like,
fat.
What is that?
And it's like, how many grams is that?
Yeah.
That's annoying. My coach has given me grams. So, yeah. You know, just given the benefit of MyFitnessPal and tracking, which will have on your physique, your lifestyle, your overall happiness, to be honest, and especially placing in a bodybuilding show, it's well worth the price.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, get MyFitnessPal Premium. But, you know, in the off-season, it's very easy to think, you know, I'm just going to eat whatever I want. Like, it's gaining time. Like, let's just go ham on the food. And, you know, if I put a bit of body fat on, I can fix that in the cut. You've heard that, right?
All the time.
All the time. And, you know, that is the case, right, to an extent. Like, there is a cutting phase and you will be able to shred off a little bit of that body fat. But what you have to realize is you want to bulk for as long as you can and not have to cut for an extreme amount of time.
That's where a lot of people go wrong.
100%. Because if you're staying in a bulking phase for the maximum amount of time that you can before you put on all of this body fat, you're increasing the amount of muscle mass that you're able to put on because you're in that phase for longer. And by the time you start the cut, you don't have that much to lose. So a perfect cut and definitely a perfect prep, you start off pretty lean. So you don't want to have all of this body fat to lose. So, and there's a few reasons for that. One, the cut just sucks, right?
Yeah.
The cut is brutal if you've got so much to lose. And two, the risk of you actually burning some muscle mass is a lot higher, yeah, than if you started lean and did a nice, comfortable cut.
Definitely. I think a lot of people view the off season as a time to eat whatever they want.
Yeah, it's chill time.
Which I do get. But then we both, all the time, even together or separately, we always get the compliment of, I don't even know if it's a compliment, I guess it is, but it's a, you always look lean in the off season.
How are you always so lean?
Yeah, and like, we always get it, which is lovely, like, thank you. But the reason for that is because we don't eat shit foods. Like, we eat really good quality foods, whole foods. You know, our fridge is filled with good, nutritious foods.
Yeah, we have very minimal snacks in our house.
Yeah, I don't think we ever really buy snacks. Like, sometimes we might come home with a bag of lollies.
Like, rarely, maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Might have sugar-free ice cream in the fridge, but yeah, it's like...
How crazy, right?
Yeah, like, our fridge, we might have a box of chocolates from a gift.
Yeah, we get a favorites box or something. But, you know, this isn't something that we have to actively fight either. It's not like Sam and I are craving these things and we're like, no, we can't have that. We've got to stay on track and keep lean and then resisting these temptations.
Mm.
That's actually not the case. We just simply don't crave these foods.
But we just simply also don't have it in the house. Like, we don't allow ourselves to have the option to have treats in the house.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah. If it's there and if you're opening the cupboard, even just to get some nuts or some rice cakes or something healthy, if that box of favorites is sitting right there staring at you, you've got that in your mind, like, this is now an option.
Yeah.
Right? If you're stressed out or if you've got bad sleep, or, you know, you can open that door and then, you know, maybe you're looking at that box a little bit harder. So, you know, you can't really have these foods if you don't even have them in the house.
Exactly. But yeah, if you're looking at your off season and going, oh, I get to eat all these donuts, I get to have that chocolate in the fridge again, like, you know, all those things. And then you look at Lucas and I and go, oh, well, why don't I look that lean in the off season?
Yep.
You might want to relook at your fridge. And I know that might be a bit triggering for some people, and I'm sorry for that, but that is honestly the harsh reality. And that is how Lucas and I have gotten to where we are as athletes.
Yeah. And like anybody else, you know, we're not special, right? We just eat a certain way, but there are a lot of pro athletes at the top of their game and they look great in the off season.
Absolutely. And yeah.
It's because it is a lifestyle. Like, this isn't something that, like...
It's not easy.
We're not waiting for show day to be, like, that finish line where we cross it and we're like, yes, we can go back to eating all this shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... It's not really us. But, you know, I tell you this. I've never liked that word, off-season. So I don't feel like it isn't off-season. Because off-season sounds like a break. And then when you're in-season is prep. And that's when you've got to dial it in and rethink your food choices. You know, it's more of a... gaining phase or an improvement phase. It's just simply a different phase of what you're trying to achieve for your bodybuilding show.
Well, like when we both went into prep last season, I know both of us didn't feel like we were in prep. It just felt like our everyday life. It didn't really feel like prep in air quotation marks until it got hard. Like when we were really kicking our feet.
Until like the cardio ramps up and the calories start dropping.
Yeah, exactly. But the reason it felt like that is because our lifestyle in the off season is prep.
Yeah, not much changed.
No, like we still went for our morning walks. We still ate whole foods. Yeah. We still went to the gym. If anything, I would say I work harder in the off season because I'm just so like, I need to be better than my last package. I still work hard in season, of course. But it's like for a different reason.
That's right.
And the food doesn't change just because I'm in the off season. Yep. It's 80% nutrition. Like that's the harsh reality of the sport we're in. It's 20% training, 80% nutrition.
Well, because that's the only main variable, right, is the nutrition. Because year round, you train like a beast, right? You have a 4, 5, 6 day training split. You'll do that in your cut and in your off season. So like training intensity stays the same. Like you just train hard as hell year round. It's just the nutrition. You know, either you're in a deficit and you're in a prep, or you're in a surplus and you're in a gaining phase. So that's the main thing that we just change, is the amount of food that comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you want to eat, you know, whatever you want to eat in the off season, that is honestly your decision as an athlete.
Yeah, we're not saying like stick to your macros exactly, like 100% of the time like you're in prep.
Exactly. I think just for Lucas and I, when we want to be that next level of athletes, we think, okay, what is that 1%? Like what is that 1% extra that other people may not be doing in our categories?
Yeah.
It's that. So take it if you want. If you don't want it, don't take it. It's up to you as an athlete.
That's
and
right.
What you feel is right for you and your lifestyle.
Yeah. Like we also know like the effects of having certain foods. Like if we were going to Macca's every week or if we were bringing boxes of chocolate home. Yeah, short term it feels great. But like we're very aware of the long term effects of that. And that is just an increased amount of you know, fat accumulation. And like we might have low energy for the next day and just feel sluggish and not have the best gym performance. But like to be the best athlete on stage, like Sam and I, like we're going for the world titles this year. We've got a major competition coming up. So we want to have every single advantage we possibly can. And that starts with our nutrition. So just dialing that in as much as possible. But saying that, if they do want to eat out, like us, for example, because we're so on point, if we do have a meal out, it's not that bad because, you know, the other 6 days have been pretty on point.
Yeah.
So we almost like earn a meal out.
I would say though, like let's think back to our beginner days, like when we were brand new into the bodybuilding scene.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that we both had like our Milky Lane time and the bad food.
In the off season.
Yeah. Like I'm sure we did that when we were beginners in the sport. Yeah. I think because now we are where we are, we're like, we know how shit it makes us feel and we don't want to feel like that the next day.
Well, also
it's all experience.
Well, in the off season, like usually I don't look very good. And this is like years ago. Like I wouldn't really think about my nutrition.
Yeah.
That was never really in my forefront my first couple of years. I would kind of use it as a finish line, the competition.
Oh, it was the same.
And then just do whatever. Like obviously like still try to, you know, eat good food and I'd still cook my own food from time to time and go to the gym. But, you know, I wasn't tracking, like I wasn't following a meal plan. I was just getting more food in.
Yeah.
And you realize the effects of that because, like, I wasn't enjoying how I looked. Right? My off season wasn't super productive. I wasn't putting on maximum muscle and I wasn't keeping the fat off.
Yeah.
And now you compare it to our off seasons now where it's still pretty structured. We've got a little bit of flexibility. Well, we can do whatever we like, but we choose to be quite structured and we see the results is us staying quite lean through this phase.
Yeah, exactly. But let's chat about navigating eating out.
Sure.
Because that is a big question mark. That's a whole question mark in itself.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of my number one questions I get from clients. Like, what do I do with food? I'm eating out today. In the off season, in season, like it's always hard to navigate. For us, when we eat out, I think you said it before, we eat pretty clean. But that's our choice. That's what we feel like on the day. In saying that, if we go to a pub and I want a fat pub feed, I will have a pub feed.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want.
Yeah.
If I want GYG, I'll have GYG. Like I'm not being restrictive of what I want.
Yeah.
However, I usually crave good foods.
Yeah. I notice the times where I'm craving a bad meal of like KFC or something, it's when I haven't had a bad meal for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm the same. Like yesterday, we had KFC yesterday, full transparency. And we hadn't had KFC in ages. Yeah, we just walked by and we were like, oh, let's get a go bucket.
Yeah, some chips and popcorn chicken.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No regrets.
No.
But say the day before that, if I went to Macca's for lunch or something, I probably wouldn't have got the KFC the next day. I wouldn't have wanted to have, you know, that much, that many cheap meals, like too close. Like I personally don't feel good about that, but I can easily justify it if it's few and far between. Like if I've spaced them out quite a bit, this isn't even like a strategic thing. Like I'm not like planning these out or anything.
Yeah.
But you know, if I haven't had a bad meal for a while and I know I've been good for the past week, fuck yeah, I'll have a go bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I know it doesn't do that much when you calculate your weekly average. You know, you're really not like, you know, eating way more than what you should be. It's just when you're doing it that frequently, that's when it catches up to you.
The thing is like if it sits well with you to eat out and enjoy a certain meal, then there is nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Go and eat out. Go and eat that meal. Enjoy yourself and leave with no guilt. Just get back on track as soon as you can, right? Like that's as simple as it gets in the off season. But the thing is, in our lifetime or in our day and age currently, we are so lucky and so fortunate with the food that we can purchase when we're eating out. There are so many places that actually do offer very good quality foods. Like we were at Euros yesterday.
Yes.
And we saw on the sign at Euros, it was like the healthy kebab options.
The healthy Euros.
And I was like, oh my God, they have a healthy thing. Like I've never seen that before. Yeah. And when you actually read the sign of the healthy wrap, it was very healthy.
Yeah, it was a low-carb pita bread, grilled chicken, lettuce, tomato, and some tzatziki sauce.
I was shocked. It was shocked.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like... I didn't get that. I got something else. But
I think we just outed ourselves for having KFC and Euros yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a long story with that. We don't normally do that, but there was a long story with why it ended up like that. Anyway.
That go bucket is like tiny though.
In saying that, what we actually got from Euros was actually not even that bad. It was actually pretty healthy when you think about it.
It was just a Euros without the low carb. That's the thing. We were missing carbs.
That's why we got the...
Yeah. But that's the thing, like, you know, a lot of people, they isolate themselves in prep and they don't see their friends too often. They skip social situations. So the off season can be a time to actually enjoy some social situations. Like you might have some birthday parties or you might want to catch up with friends and you want to go out. It's like, should you feel guilty about that? Like, there's a big conversation to say, no, it's the off season. This is your time to actually, you know, see your friends and have these fun times. So absolutely, still go out, but there are definitely healthy choices you can make. And a lot of people think that more food you eat and the higher calories you eat, the more muscle you put on in the off season.
No.
So a lot of people will actually opt for like dirty foods, right? They'll opt for the big KFC buckets or like just the huge feeds that are mainly just fat and just high calories. And yeah, the calories are high, but you got to think about like how much of that is conducive to building muscle.
Yeah.
Not really that much. So to have that mentality as well of like just trying to go big with your eating, it doesn't usually end up the way you think it would.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me, I know this really helped with me at one point in my bodybuilding career. I don't really do it anymore because I don't eat out anywhere near as much. But I would actually cut the fats for my day.
Yep.
So if I knew that I had a birthday event that night and I was going to enjoy like a really nice meal, I would actually just cut the fats for the day because it's easier to do that than try and save calories, like bank calories for the day.
Yeah.
The food that you're going to eat out, it's always going to be high in fats. Like it's as simple as that.
It's
so
guaranteed to be high than anything you'd cook yourself.
Exactly. And I would also always aim to get some type of protein source with that meal as well.
Oh, sure.
But that's all I'd do. And I would always be satisfied. I'd leave going, oh, I feel good. Like I don't feel overly full or bloated or anything like that.
So at the end of the day, they cook for your flavor. They want you to be like, oh my God, that's delicious. They don't give a shit about your fitness goals.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're lean after this meal or not. They just want to make the tastiest food. And unfortunately, that involves having a high fat content.
Yes. Damn it.
But honestly, like that's the thing as well. Like there is absolutely a way to look good year round. Like you don't have to only look good when you're in a cutting phase. Like you absolutely can look lean in the off season and be very happy with your physique as well. So, like, just for a confidence standpoint as well, like, being pretty on top of your nutrition and still having a good grasp on that, it's only going to improve how you view yourself, how others view you as well. So there's no reason you can't stay lean year-round with just a little tighter adherence. It doesn't have to be, like, airtight, but, you know, give tracking a go in the off-season. See if you can keep your fats down. See if you can kind of follow some sort of plan for the week. Because what I noticed, usually when I finish a show, I usually, like, won't track for a period of time. I'll kind of do my own thing and just try to eat healthy foods. I always feel like I'm missing something, like I'm missing an achievement for the week or for the day. Whereas if I'm tracking my food or I'm following a meal plan, you know how it is. When you finish a day and you're like, I nailed that, you feel really good. You know you're heading towards your goal. But that's what I noticed when I didn't have any sort of plan in place. I felt like unrealized satisfaction.
I get that.
Yeah, it wasn't a nice feeling. And then I got back into the tracking, started prepping my meals again. And you feel really good. And you also know that you're going to be building muscle.
Yeah.
Right? Where if you're kind of guessing, like a lot of the time, you're under eating your protein. So that's when tracking comes in handy as well, just to make sure you're actually in a growing phase and you're actually putting muscle mass on.
Yeah, I agree with that actually. Mm. I was the same. But I think one lesson that we both have learned over this journey when it comes to eating out and the party life and everything else that you can be tempted by in the off season is you don't have to just because you can.
Yeah, obviously you can't have all these things in prep. So now that you're free and you actually can have this, do you actually want it?
Most of the time it's no. Well, I find anyway, a lot of the time when I really ask myself intuitively and I'm like, do I actually want that piece of cake?
Yeah, no, and sometimes not really. It's like a fear of missing out, right? Like if I don't have this food now, by the time prep starts or I'm in a cutting phase, I won't be able to have this. So I've got to have this now while I can. Like, just because you can have it, like, you can have anything in the world, like, but it doesn't mean you should have it. You can go out and buy a pack of cigarettes. You can go out and buy a case of beer. Like, you can do that, but do you want to do that?
Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. Same with food.
But the worst thing that you can do in that situation is, well, in my opinion, saying yes to just doing it because you can and not because you want to,
yeah.
That's disrespecting yourself. Like, that's not self-love at all. That's just disrespecting your whole wants and needs. When if you really listen to yourself and ask the question, do I actually want this or do I just want it because I can?
Yeah.
And the answer is no, I don't want it. If you honor that and respect that, you'll actually find that you have this whole new level of self-respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're respecting your needs and wants.
That's right.
That's what I found that huge.
That's powerful.
Did it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So if you're in the off season or you are coming out of the show or whatever it might be, and you're finding that you are just eating for the sake of it, maybe just try asking yourself that question. And if it is but I'm scared of missing out, newsflash, that food is still going to be there.
It'll always be there.
It'll still be there next week. It'll still be there in a year's time. That place closes down. Okay, whatever. You'll find another place. Like, honestly, there are so many things that I have been scared of missing out on in my life, and I can guarantee you it's still there in 6 months' time.
Yep.
And most of the time I find when I am scared of missing out, I actually don't think of it. My whole prep, I do not think of that one thing that I wanted in the off season, or the one thing that I do think of in prep, I never eat in the off season.
Yeah.
It's so weird how it works. But yeah, just really ask yourself, do I actually want it? And then another question you can ask yourself is me saying yes to this saying yes to my goals, or is this saying no to my goals?
I was just thinking the same thing. Like, I think it's powerful to kind of zoom out. Like, obviously, short term, it'd be great to have that slice of pizza. That would make me feel really good right now. But if you zoom out and see the long-term goal, maybe you've got a wedding coming up, you've got a photo shoot, you've got a competition coming up. Is what I'm about to do and considering to do right now, is that conducive to that goal? Is that going to put me in a good spot towards that goal? And if not, is that worth it?
Exactly.
And if you actually really ask yourself that question, maybe the answer is, oh, no, actually, I really want to do well at this bodybuilding show. Like, I really, you know, my feedback was I need to grow. Okay, I need to really dial my nutrition in here. Like, this shit food, this isn't going to help me at all. And that's actually really what's helped us. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
We realize that in September, we have a world title to compete for. We want to be in the best position. We have size to grow. Like, there are some big competitors doing our shows. So we are almost like obsessed with nailing our nutrition these days, just so that when our major goal comes, we've put ourselves in the best position by building the maximum amount of muscle. So it's very easy to dismiss any of these bad foods because we realize this isn't going to help us with our goal. So it's definitely a question to ask yourself as well. Does this help with your goal?
That was like when we went to the festival at the start of the year. We went to a foam party on New Year's Day. It was great fun. It was awesome. We knew we were going. Like, we knew we were going to have a good time. And we knew the next day it was going to be like a write-off day, as it is after a festival. But I remember when we were on the way home, we were having that discussion.
Yeah.
And we were just saying how we don't want to be doing this for the year. Like, this is our only one. We're not wanting to be back in this position at some point before Worlds. And I had a moment with myself where I was like, I don't want to drink this year. I don't want to put myself in the position of drinking and being hungover the next day and not being able to train or just like, just even feeling glassy. Like, you know, when you have a few, like one or two, but you still feel like a bit, you don't feel 100%. Sure. I don't want to be in that position at all this year. Like, if I know I have training tomorrow, you'll not catch alcohol in my hand.
Yeah.
Which I think in the past I've kind of been very lenient with. It's like, oh, like what's one or two drinks going to do?
Yeah.
So yeah, like even that, like, you know, drinking in the off season, that's a big thing.
That's a big thing. It needs to be talked about for sure.
And like, it's fine. Like if you want to drink, have a drink. I'm not telling you not to drink. It's just, I think it was a decision that I wanted to make. And it was like, I actually don't want to drink this year. Don't get me wrong. If there's a celebration, it, like I believe that I should have a drink for this celebration, I'll have a drink.
Yeah.
But I'm actually not going to go out of my way and do what we said before, do it because I can.
That's right.
Which, that's been a big shift for me, but I'm doing well.
No, I love that, babe. We're doing really well.
12 days in.
Yeah, babe, doing so well. But it also depends, like, what level you want to get to as well. Like, if you're doing a show, you kind of have to think, what would my competitors be doing? Like, if I go to this event and if I have all of these drinks, what if someone doesn't do that? What if someone doesn't have all this food out? They're not getting wasted every month on a party. You know, they're probably going to be in a better position to win this show. So you kind of got to think about having every advantage you possibly can and not putting yourself at a disadvantage, but also maintaining some sort of balance with your life where you're happy and but you're still heading towards this major goal.
Yeah, and I think it all comes down to your morals. Like morally, if you want to be able to have a drink once a week or whatever, go for it. That's okay. That's your decision. That's what you want to do. It's just for me right now, I don't want to do that.
Nah.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's just, where are you at? Where do you want to be? What is you saying yes and what is you saying no? And really sit with it. Like, write down in a journal. Really write it out and go, okay, what aligns with it? What doesn't align with it? Because that's what I did. And when I figured that out, it was like a light bulb moment for me. And it was like, all right, well, I'm not going to eat out much. I'm not going to drink much.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. There's time for all that.
Like, exactly.
You know, like, after we achieve this major goal, then absolutely, yeah, we'll do all this crazy stuff. But leading up to it, it's like, you know, there's better times to indulge in things like this for us.
Exactly.
Because I know for a fact there's definitely some competitors that we're going up against that won't be partying all the time. They won't be drinking much.
Absolutely,
and they are just obsessed with this goal that we're obsessed with as well. So it's almost like, who can do the most in this off season, who can give their absolute most in every single aspect?
Yeah.
So you don't want to give them the edge in any way.
Exactly. A1 mentality.
you got to have it, you know, just given the level of competition we go up against, like these people would kill someone to win this show. So we can't give them any slack.
And this is us being very experienced competitors. Like, I've done 8 shows now. How many shows have you done?
I've done 7 shows now.
Damn, you're one behind me. Yeah. Catching up. but, you know, if you are doing your first show or second show, don't feel like you have to have this level of mentality or discipline just yet. Like, it does come. You can work towards it, but don't feel like you have to restrict your lifestyle right now to be in line with this. This is Lucas and I. 5 years? Are you 5 years in to this journey of yours?
This is my 6th year of competing.
This is my 5th. So, you know, we've been doing this for a bit. Half a decade. Decade? Half a decade, yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
But yeah, if you guys have any questions about this though, feel free to DM us. Hey, like, we are books of knowledge as coaches and athletes.
Yeah, we've been on both sides. We've been on the, hey, let's fuck around. This is the off season. Let's go party and go to all the festivals. And we've also been on the, let's tighten it up. So we understand both sides and the benefits and cons of all. So send us a message if you have any questions about any of this.
Well, hope you guys have enjoyed this episode and gotten some motivation. I feel motivated after this, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like getting some KFC. I'm joking.
Wrong motivation, babe.
Motivated to do something.
But if you guys would like to follow us on social media, I am at underscore Samantha Wicks on Instagram.
And I am at Coach Lucas.
And we shall be back in your ears next week.
Catch you guys.
Bye.
Bye.